Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 23rd of December, recording at 7:26 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And stock markets are mostly softer, quiet activity, and no big declines, except perhaps for China. China did fall about 4.5%. Allegedly on disappointment over the size of the latest interest rate cut. As I speak, the Dow's down 31 points. It's regained a fair amount of its earlier losses, but we still have, though, over an hour and a half to go in terms of today's trading activity, but quiet activity as you'd expect. Government bonds are generally, well, they're quietly steady, government bond prices. Not a lot of drama here today. The dollar has been up a bit and down a bit. It's currently up a bit, and although not against the euro or the Swiss franc, but it is up against the commodity producers. And as you might guess from that, the commodity prices are mostly weaker in here today. The industrial metals are, and so are the precious metals. They have been correcting since the dollar's rally began last week, and that has continued in here today. Gold, as I speak, is at 840. That's down $8.20. And crude oil, a little bit easier, 39.16. And natural gas has been quite strong in here today. I don't know what has attributed to or what has caused that, but it is an upward dynamic. So it's checked the decline in a commodity that had been sliding quite a bit recently. Grains and beans are a bit firmer in here today, but most commodities softer. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, in terms of stock markets, sentiment is fragile. Investors are extremely cautious. Judging from the market activity, most of them have understandably and rightly closed up shop for the holidays here, but Fuller Money presses on. And overall, we can see why investors are cautious. Now, all you have to do is pick up the newspapers and turn to the financial section or turn on CNBC or Bloomberg, and wave after wave of bearish fundamental data fills the discussions and the articles. And the only thing to conclude from that, or at least what I conclude at any rate, is what I've been saying for a number of months now, and that is that the economic data is still worsening. So this is a savage global recession, and some people feel it's worse than that. I think savage global recession is enough in terms of my terminology. So that's the really bad news in here, and that makes investors very cautious, and that caution is likely to lead to a lengthy convalescence period, in other words, an extensive base formation process, as I've mentioned before on a number of occasions. Now, what's taken place? You know, we had the severest of sell-offs really between May and most of October. That looked climactic. Subsequently, we've seen a lot of ranging for most stock market indices. Some of that ranging is horizontal. Most of the European markets fall into that description. And some of it has had a slight downward bias. And I think it's really only China and perhaps a couple of other market indices that have actually had a rising lows, clear rising lows bias within this overall ranging process. And over the last few days, starting late last week, We have seen markets that were in the rectangular ranging patterns. We've seen them fall back from those early November or late November highs, rather. Yes, the late November highs. We've seen them, in other words, encounter resistance from the higher side of the ranges. Now, there haven't been any big downward dynamics, partly due to seasonal activity, perhaps. And maybe we won't get any seasonal, any big downward dynamics at this time. But the level to focus on, I feel, is the lows, the reaction lows that we saw in early December. Again, Owen and I have mentioned the early December reaction lows on a number of occasions. And basically, I feel that if we're going to see another, if we're going to see a retest of the lows, let alone another down leg in the global stock market indices, which is a risk because, after all, they are still in overall downward trends, and we've only really seen lows for the majors over the October and some in the November period. So, but my point is, if they're going to deteriorate, you'll see the evidence in the form, the initial evidence at any rate, in the form of breaks beneath the early December lows that are maintained. That increases the possibility that we get at least retests of the lows for these patterns, and that would be a concern if we see it. Conversely, to indicate that we were going to see a firmer tone in markets, we would need to see, well, ideally, some upward dynamics in here, if not during the remainder of this year and early January, and breaks above the November and December highs to date. So that's what you want to be thinking about. But overall, in terms of monitoring this, but overall, my feeling is that we get lengthy base formation development, as I have mentioned before. And it's not too hard to understand why. Now, I mentioned the news, the appalling news. Well, that's not going to cause investors to come rushing in anytime soon. And I know the economic data lags always, but the fact is, it will have a negative effect on sentiment until we start to see some improved economic data coming through. In terms of valuations, the more bullish people have pointed out that valuations are much improved. Well, we know the price, but we don't know the earnings, except that all of the evidence that we see, and I'm not aware of any exception to this, shows that earnings are being downgraded, and earnings estimates from and earnings guidance reports from companies are being downgraded rather than increased. Now, obviously, most of that is due to the dire economic conditions. Some of it is also due to the inevitable temptation to reach into the closet, and if you've got any corporate closet skeletons, to throw them out in this type of environment where they attract less attention because there's so much bad news going around. On valuations, people also point to the much improved dividend yields for many stock market indices and obviously also many individual corporations. Now, the problem with that, though, in the short to medium term, is that corporations are cutting dividends. I'm not aware of any corporation that's actually raised its dividend recently, and I don't think we will see them raise dividends. And again, a company that may feel under pressure to meet its dividend during reasonably good times. If they're ever going to cut dividends, this is the time to actually do it, is say when there is so much bad news around and when so many others are doing it, so it doesn't attract quite so much attention. So that is both those factors are significant headwinds for global stock markets. And then anybody who looks at the charts can see that the overall downward trends persist. And so far, all we've seen in here is a bit of ranging reversion to the mean in terms of those falling 200-day moving averages. But the overall downward trends still persist. Well, against that background, is there any good news that's out there? And yes, indeed, there is. The most important recent development is that we have seen some clear evidence of a type 1-2 top in the corporate bond yields. Now, corporate bond yields really spiked higher dramatically during the stock market sell-off, and they continued to push upwards in November, but have fallen back really quite sharply. As I say, that does look like we've seen a top in both the AAA, if you look at AAA indices, or look at BBB, and those are perhaps even more relevant in terms of the analytical message, yields, you see that they have come down very sharply. You can find those in the chart library. Now, a lot of people feel that equities really weren't going to go anywhere on the upside and would only go down until we saw some semblance of confidence restored in the corporate bond market. Now, it's still early days yet, and investors will need a lot of convincing in this environment. But the technical action, that shows up first usually, and it does suggest to me that we have seen peaks in corporate bond yields, and that is really quite important. And that has occurred, of course, against a background of record low, in many instances, yields for government bonds. And that is also the a tailwind. It's not a strong tailwind yet for equities, but it's certainly a cushioning factor here overall. So that helps. And then we know that interest rates are going to stay low for really quite some time. We know that inflation has all but disappeared, and there is now the concern of deflation, and that will certainly help to keep interest rates low for a very long time. So the seedbed, if you will, for that next economic recovery and that next stock market rebound is being tilled. And while this has been such a frightening and alarming period, those with some historic perspective will know, and there's nothing like having lived through some of the previous crises, that when you get just a cascading bad news and nothing seems to be going right, of course, that's usually what we see in the latter stages of extreme bear markets, and that always, the phoenix does eventually rise from those ashes. And it isn't going to be any different this time, unless the world is about to end, and I'm not in the business of forecasting that. So what I'm saying is that we should be prepared psychologically and analytically for the lengthy base building process, but that the seedbed for that next recovery is slowly being tilled by government policies, by the improving valuations, by the low interest rates, by the absence of commodity and inflation. But we're going to have to be patient, and it's best to just keep watching the charts. The most positive development would be to see, however gradual, a progression of higher reaction lows. The negative technical development that would be an important warning sign would be closes beneath the early December reaction lows, as I've already mentioned. Moving on to long-dated government bonds, with this quantitative easing taking place, in other words, a number of central banks buying their own paper, and certainly that's what the Fed has been doing, and with investors knowing that interest rates, short-term interest rates, are going to stay low and move lower where they can, and with recession and depression fears and deflation concerns paramount, that is going to keep these bond yields under pressure, or at least it's going to keep them from rebounding strongly. Will I say that, and I hesitate when I say that, Owen has made the point, watch out for a clear downward dynamic on those government bond prices. That will happen at some stage. And when it does happen, that will certainly warn of at least a correction, which could be quite significant. But also, at some stage, these markets will top out, the bond prices will top out with some clear downward dynamics. And if you want to know what the top formations will look like, go back and look at what stock markets showed in that 2007 and early 2008 period, and you'll see a whole lot of top formations overall. Top formations don't tell you how far things are going to come down, and that's been the surprise for me, how far things have come down. But once we see top formations in those government bond prices, we'll be seeing some steadying and basing in those government bond yields. That may take time. It probably almost certainly will take time, but it will happen. Meanwhile, the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield has fallen to very, very close to that 2% level, which is a bit of a milestone and a kind of a pause period. It wouldn't be surprising to see that market pause near the 2% level, say important psychological level. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar, I'm of the view that the U.S. dollar's fundamentals have been thoroughly undermined once again. They were never that good, or not in recent history at any rate. By recent history, I mean the last decade or so. And I think they've deteriorated further as a result of the quantitative easing and the flat-out electronic printing of money that's taking place. I've posted a really good essay by James Grant on this subject. I really do commend it to you. It's highly educative, and I found it very useful. Now, what else to mention here? So I do think that the dollar is suspect in here overall, but it is in a technical rally phase at the moment. I really don't think it will seriously challenge the tops that we saw. And you can look at the dollar index. I've posted more charts of that in here today. But as far as the fiat currencies are concerned, it is a question of which look least bad at any given time. And because we have an entirely fiat currency regime, and fiat currencies have never held their value, their purchasing power over time. A lot of us do feel that gold and other precious metals certainly deserve a representation in our overall investment portfolios. Tactically, I tend to play this, well, I do have some gold shares, but tactically, I tend to play this mainly through the futures market. That's a personal choice. But Floor Money has often mentioned that because of the volatility in these markets, that we feel that they're best purchased on setbacks such as we've seen today. And I did nibble at precious metals here today, and that it's a good idea to take some profits on the rallies, particularly if those trends show any sign of accelerating. Now, among industrial commodities, I mentioned that they had been weaker in here today. We have seen huge setbacks. This is, and with the crude oil price fall, this has caused a lot of people to say, haha, you know, all that talk of a commodity supercycle was absolute nonsense. Well, hold on a moment. I take very much the Jim Rogers view on this, and it's based on the important historical evidence that commodity cycles tend to last often for a generation or more. Not all of them, but it's not unusual to see that happen. And we certainly had a generational long bear market in commodity prices before the strong bullish action emerged in this decade. And what I have said throughout that phase, and I am an advocate of the commodity supercycle, but I've said the one thing that would seriously derail it for a while would be a global recession. And this is one heck of a global recession, as we know. So that has driven commodities down, and the fundamentals, of course, are increased supply and then a blowout of the speculative holdings. The speculative participation pushed commodity prices up to those overextended accelerated highs. It was a point I made repeatedly when that was occurring earlier in this year. I think that we've certainly seen plenty of unwinding of those speculative positions. So falling demand at a time when production was high, and then, of course, the reversal of those speculative positions taking place. Now, that's pushed prices way, way down. But what's now happening is that producers are cutting back on production. They're putting a freeze on or mothballing projects, and those will include green site developments and also upgrades to brownfield developments. And as we've seen with Rio recently, they've laid off a number of personnel, so they're going into a hibernation survival mode here now. Rio and all the other big ones, I little doubt in my mind that they will survive, partly because they did so well in the bull phase. And Rio has some debt problems, as does Xstrata, and any of the companies that were successful with big acquisitions relatively late in the cycle, as with Rio's takeover of Alcan, they are under more financial pressure. So the pick of the lot among the big boys at this stage is very much BHP Billiton. But the point I don't want to digress too much on specific companies, but the point I'm making is that while we have demand still declining for these industrial commodities, supply is now declining, and that applies to crude oil as well. But supply is not declining as fast as demand is declining. But eventually you'll get a crossover where all the stimulative measures in the global economy begin to take effect, and that takes time, of course. Major changes in monetary policy, which tend to come too late because governments are crisis-oriented and reactive, and they can take a year to 18 months to kick in, but they eventually will. And so what you'll get and what will fuel the next big upcycle in the commodity prices is that following this severe global recession, we will get a global recovery, a synchronized economic recovery in all probability, led by Asia once again. and also the resources markets, in our opinion. And the commodity prices will move up. The industrial commodity prices will move up quite sharply because producers will be cautious in terms of ramping up supplies once again. They don't want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg, as it were. So you'll get the opposite of what we're seeing today. Today we are seeing supply outstripping demand in the next recovery cycle, just as we saw earlier in this decade. We will see demand outstripping supply. Highly cyclical. Now, on the agricultural commodities, we are also seeing falling demand, but global reserves for the grain and bean complex are really quite low. Also, the key variable for agricultural commodities is always going to be supply, which is heavily influenced by weather conditions. The best thing for the global economy would be if we had several years of good crops to allow global stockpiles to be built up once again. But we may not see that luxury. It depends entirely on what happens with the weather, or primarily on what happens with the with the weather. But needless to say, any really bad weather conditions would cause spikes in the commodity prices, the commodities affected, and as we've always seen in the past. In terms of energy prices, my feeling is that we will see a bottoming out and base building process here, and it'll probably occur relatively close to current levels. But the evidence of that to date is very, very tentative indeed. So that's pretty much it. On a quick wrap, I would say we're going to need to be patient in terms of support building in global stock markets. But this is a time to remain focused, engaged, to continue to look at our charts. It may be tempting to say, well, I'm going to take a year off because I don't think anything will happen in 2009. Well, you might be right, you might be lucky, but that tends to dull the senses. And I think that, well, I know, speaking with personal experience, I've always benefited by staying very, very much engaged. There are always surprises revealed by the charts, and I don't want to miss any of those, if possible. So we will certainly do that, and I commend that to you, and I so much appreciate the interesting articles and reports that are forwarded generously to be shared with the collective, and we will continue to post those. This is a good time for learning. This is a unique period that we are experiencing. The word unique is bandied about far too often, but I think it certainly applies in the current circumstances. And last but not least, I was talking to a very good friend who runs an investment management company last night, and he said that he felt privileged to be involved in this environment. And I thought, well, what a healthy attitude. And of course, it's been difficult and a strain for everyone. But I thought that was the only attitude to take. It's a privilege to be involved and to be participating in this. And rather than worrying too much about the money lost, of course, it's a concern, but we don't want to dwell on it because that's corrosive. And what we really know is that we can make the money back. And what we need to do, though, is right now, in particular, is enjoy our family surroundings and maintain a balanced existence in terms of interests. And above all, try to stay really quite healthy so that we are fit and ready to take advantages of the opportunity that always emerge following disastrous setbacks. And I think that's a wrap for today. So there will be a brief comment and audio released sort of midday UK time tomorrow. But we will obviously be closed for Christmas Day, and we will also be closed on Friday, which is Boxing Day. So I'll have one more audio this week, and that will be tomorrow, and it's also the brief comment. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.